Thank you, Brother William. Good morning, everyone. Bless you in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, children, you may go to your classes. And then for the rest, if you have Bible with you, please turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 18. We are on chapter 18. We have finished right up to 17. And that was the last sermon. And today we are on chapter 18. All right, chapter 18, verse 1. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and have become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sin, and lest you receive of her plague. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquity. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup in which she has mixed, mix double for her. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen and am no widow, and will not see sorrow. Therefore, her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine. And she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, and stand at the distance for fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, the great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour your judgment has come. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys her merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearl, fine linen, purple, silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble, and cinnamon, incense, fragrant oil, and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots, and bodies and souls of men. The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things who become rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in one hour such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailor, and as many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance and carried out when they saw the smoke of a burning, saying, What is like this great city? They drew dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing and saying, Alas, alas, that great city in which all who had shipped on the sea became rich by her wealth, for in one hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found any more. The sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, and trumpeters shall not be heard in you anymore. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in you anymore, and the sound of the millstone shall not be heard in you anymore. The light of lamp shall not shine in you anymore, and the voice of bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by your sorcery all the nations were deceived, and in her was found the blood of prophets and saints and of all who were slain on the earth. That ends the reading for chapter 18. Let's pray. Father, we know that the book of Revelation is a very special book, and you promise in your word that as we read and as we meditate and as we keep this word of prophecy, Lord, that we are going to be tremendously blessed. So, Lord, we take your word at face value, and therefore we have come to this chapter 18, and we ask that you continue to speak to us through your word in a very simple but powerful way. Lord, as this word is being taught and this preached, I believe that there's a special deposit that you want to put in our spirit. And when we go away, Lord, it will do something in our life. So I pray, Father, for a hearing ear, a receptive heart. And I pray that you anoint your servant to speak a word, Lord, in a simple way with clarity, authority, and power. And Lord, may this word prepare us for your second coming, and may this word, Lord, change and transform us into the image of Christ. So this morning, Holy Spirit, come to glorify the Father and the Son in Jesus' most precious name. And God's people say, Amen. All right, I see that there are a few newcomers here. For those who are unaware, we are in a series of sermon on the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is a very, very difficult book. But nonetheless, we are getting there. This is the sixth year, and every year we are doing a few chapters. And last sermon, I spoke on the mystery of the harlot Babylon and the beast. That was in chapter 17. So for those who are not in the kind of, not in the full knowledge of what's happening, you can place a copy of that message, place an order through sound person in the back. His name is Dexter. He's there. All right. So today my focus will be on chapter 18. And the title of the sermon is The Great Fall of Babylon. Now, before I go into the verse-by-verse commentary of this whole chapter 18, I need to provide some background for you, background information to give you further clarity on this subject of Babylon. If you can remember, in my last sermon, I mentioned that there are two different aspects of Babylon the Great. And the first one was called the Mystery Babylon the Great, Mother of Harlots. And she represents, in my last sermon, I said that she represents all the false religion and the apostate churches of the world. That's what Babylon means. And she actually is named after the city of Babylon because she takes the same evil nature, the same characteristic, and the same spirit as that city of Babylon. And then the second aspect of Babylon is actually the rich, great, and mighty city of Babylon. And this represents the political and the economic power of the world centered in a particular capital city called Babylon. Now, for you to see the difference between Revelation chapter 17 and Revelation chapter 18, just to give you clarity of some aspect of the two different aspects of Babylon, I'm going to give you and show you a chart. One click, please. Thank you. Now, chapter 17, you have the harlot woman, and her name is called Babylon. So, it predominantly is a harlot woman, and this is in contrast to the glorious bride of Christ. So in chapter 18, the emphasis is on the city of Babylon. It's called a great and mighty city. That means it's a very powerful and very influential and very rich city. Now, in chapter 17, when you read, there was a mystery of this particular woman. And in the last sermon, I've actually unlocked the mystery of who this harlot woman is and who the Antichrist is. But in this particular chapter, there is no mystery that is mentioned. So you can see the difference. And also in 17, this harlot woman was actually destroyed by the 10 kings. And this 10 king is the last one world kingdom comprising a configuration of 10 kings. Destroyed by 10 kings. But in chapter 18, this city was not destroyed by the 10 kings, but was destroyed by God himself through fire and earthquake. So you begin to see the difference. And I also told you that for chapter 17, that event actually take place at the beginning of the last 3.5 years of Great Tribulation. But when we come to chapter 18, the first verse of chapter 18, he says, after these things. Now, what are these things? Means all the events that are mentioned in Revelation 17. And therefore, we can see that in terms of time spent, there are actually two separate events. One happened earlier than the other. And also in chapter 17, there was no merchandise being mentioned. But in chapter 18, you have constant mentions of merchants and merchandise. And then chapter 17, because the 10 kings hated this particular harlot, this one world religion, and so they got rid of her, and after that they were very happy, they rejoiced at her destruction. But in chapter 18, you notice that the kings and the merchants of the earth were actually lament at the destruction of Babylon. So there is this contrast. And so in summary, harlot woman in the called Babylon the Great in 17 is actually the religious Babylon. It is the one world religion system, and that which will come to pass in the last days. For chapter 18, it is the political and the commercial Babylon. And so with this things in mind, you have a clarity. Actually, there are two different spheres or aspect of Babylon the Great. So, if Babylon mentioned in Revelation 18 is the political and the commercial capital of the world, then the question that we're going to ask is, which city in the world currently will fit the bill? Now, from the description in Revelation chapter 18, Babylon is a very rich, very, very rich city. It is a center of power, commerce and pleasure. And based on the current world scenario, the question is, which city would be the represented or would be Babylon? Now, there are two schools of thought here. Some Bible commentators say that it is symbolic in a sense that it is represented by a certain city and the name may not be Babylon. And so the first suggestion, proposition that came up with the city of Rome. Now, Rome was once a center of power and commerce during the Roman Empire. This view is based on the interpretation that the harlot woman in Revelation chapter 17 is the Roman Catholic Apostate Church. And so, Revelation 17 says that this harlot rides on the beast that has got seven heads. And this head represents, there it says, the seven mountains. And therefore, this Bible commentator said that since the city of Rome sits on seven hills and the Roman Catholic Church is headquartered in Rome, they conclude that the city of Rome is the modern-day Babylon. Now, as mentioned in my last sermon, the mountain in Revelation chapter 17 does not refer to the physical hill or the mountain. The mountain there represents kingdoms. The horn represents kings and the mountains represent kingdom. Now, though Rome has some historical semblance, symbolic semblance of Babylon, I do not believe that Rome is the complete fulfillment of Babylon that the Bible talks about here. So, and based on prophecy from Daniel chapter 2, the last days one world government will be a configuration of 10 kings coming from the old Roman Empire. And if you can remember Daniel chapter 2, there was an image, and we come to the last part, which are the legs, the two legs. Now the old Roman Empire has got two legs, the western and the eastern leg. And the western leg actually is Europe, and the eastern leg actually comprised from some Middle East country, Muslim country like Turkey, Iraq, Iran, and Saudi Arabia, you know, and one or two more in the part of the world. And Babylon will be located in Middle East, a Muslim country. And then the second proposition by some Bible commentator is Babylon is symbolically perhaps represented by the modern city of New York. Now, if one is to ask which is the current center of commerce and business in the world, now it would be New York in USA, because the United States happens to be the biggest economy of the world and also the number one superpower. And New York is, of course, the number one financial center of the world. Now, again, New York may have some semblance of modern-day Babylon, but I still do not think that it is a true representation of Babylon. Basically, I am more inclined to a literal interpretation of Babylon, and Babylon, in a way, is supported by other symbolic cities like New York, like Rome, and like all the other major financial centers of the world. So I come to the third, what they call, proposition, and that is interpret Babylon as literal ancient Babylon. And Babylon is going to be rebuilt. Now, Babylon is currently located in a town called Hila in present-day Iraq. And Iraq, of course, we know is in turmoil and in chaos today. Now, Hila is currently an unknown town in Iraq. Neither Iraq as a country or any of the city in what we call in Iraq can be considered a center of political power and commerce. And because of this, many Bible commentators cannot quite see how Babylon can refer to the present-day Hila. And however, we cannot look at Bible prophecy purely from a current world scenario. This is trying to make the outside world scenario as the center of reference and to see how Bible prophecy fits to current event. That should not be the case. It should be the other way around. It should be that the Bible is a center of reference, and we want to see how the world slowly and progressively move towards the fulfilling of those prophecy. That should be our approach. Now, there are three reasons why I see Babylon is literal. Now, the first reason is this. Many Old Testament prophecy of Babylon is it will be a sudden and utter destruction of Babylon. And these are yet to be fulfilled. And if you go into Isaiah chapter 13 and 14 and go to Jeremiah chapter 50 and 51, it says that Babylon would be totally destroyed, like Sodom and Gomorrah, never to be inhabited. Now let's look at the prophecy, because this is very important. If you can turn with me to Isaiah chapter 13, please, that talks about the prophecy against Babylon. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 19 to verse 20. To just give you a few, because there's a whole chapter of the prophecy against Babylon. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 19 to verse 20. Now it says here, and Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldean's pride, will be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It will never be inhabited, nor will it be settled from generation to generation, nor will the Arabian pitch the tents there, nor will the shepherd make their sheep fold them. So, that is one prophecy, and also Jeremiah chapter 50, the next book after Isaiah. The book of Jeremiah chapter 50, please. We'll read from verse 13. All right, here it says that because of the wrath of God, she shall not be inhabited. So the same thing, but she shall be wholly desolate, and everyone who goes by Babylon shall be horrified and hiss at all her plague. And of course, there's verse 39 to verse 40. I will not read that, but there's another verse in next chapter, Jeremiah 51. A second part is the her bricks shall never be reused again. Jeremiah chapter 51, 26. Here it says that come against her from the father's most. Sorry, I got it to 50. Should be 51 verse 26. All right, here it says that they shall not take from you a stone for a corner, nor a stone for a foundation, but you shall be desolate forever, says the Lord. Which means to say no bricks there will ever be used for any building. So if you look at the history, these prophecies have not completely been fulfilled. It's very, very clear. Now, if you trace the history of Babylon, the first four of the Babylonian Empire actually was without any battle. And that was because the Medo-Persian king, by the name of Cyrus, when he conquered Babylon, there was not much of a battle. This was because when he conquered Babylon, this Babylonian king Belshazzar and his officer, they were partying and they were feasting when the kingdom was taken by surprise. I think I mentioned to you the story in my last sermon. I will not go through it again. And then century later, the Greek Empire came into being, and Alexander the Great actually conquered the Persian kingdom. And then he did not destroy the Babylon, but instead he wanted to make it his capital. Why is it so? Because it was a political move to appease the nations in the eastern part of his empire so that he can consolidate his power. And then later, you further down in history, it slowly degenerated into an unknown and an insignificant town called Hilla today. And then in recent history, of course, you know, Saddam Hussein rebuilt Babylon during his reign, and he used, in fact, many of the bricks in that particular town because he wanted to showcase and restore the past glory of the Babylonian Empire. But that particular building project was stopped after the Iraqi war. That means after the U.S. invaded Iraq. And so from the records of history, Hila in Babylon has never been utterly destroyed to become a complete desolation. In fact, the bricks, as I said, were being reused and also the place is inhabited with some people. And currently, if you look at world event, ISIS forces are trying to take Iraq and make it an Islamic state. Now, Iraq is strategic because it is very rich in oil. Now, how this will turn out in fulfilling Bible prophecy will be of great interest for us to watch. Now, in the near future, this city will be rebuilt to become a prominent city of the world. And this will not take long. If you look at the Middle East city like Dubai, within a short period of 10 years, Dubai has become a very prominent and a modern city. And similarly, like Alexander the Great, the Antichrist will make Babylon to become the political and the commercial capital to appease and to win over the Islamic nation in Middle East. This will be a strategic move by the Antichrist. And so, the second reason why it will be a literal Babylon, and I would call this law of first mention of Babel or Babylon in Genesis, and the repeated mentions of Babylon and River Euphrates in the book of Revelation. Now, what was first mentioned in the book of Genesis actually has spiritual significance when it is further mentioned in the book of Revelation, the book of finality. And in Genesis chapter 11, when I went through the series of Genesis with you, Nimrod, the rebel against God, founded a city called Babel, which is another name for Babylon. And he was the first world dictator to unite humanity, and they built a tower at the center of idolatry and satanic worship. Now, Babel or Babylon is actually located just beside River Euphrates. And Babylon and River Euphrates are mentioned five times in the book of Revelation. In Revelation 9, there was four angels that were bound at River Euphrates. They were loose in the number six trumpet judgment. So, second mention is Revelation chapter 16. It says that the river Euphrates was dried up in this number six bowl judgment, and making ways for the kings of the nations of the east to cross over and to attack Israel. And then Babylon was mentioned three more times in Revelation 14, Revelation 16, and Revelation this current chapter 18. And so it started as a seed in Genesis, and it will become a full-blown tree in the book of Revelation, the book of finality. Now, Babylon, the city, as you remember in the book of origin, was actually rooted in commerce, illicit pleasure, sorcery, demonic worship, idolatry, drug merchandising, and all kinds of evil. Now, it will eventually find its full expression in becoming the capital of the one world government in Revelation chapter 18. But more importantly, the number three reason why Babylon is literal is taken from Zechariah chapter 5, verse 5 to verse 11. Let us go to that particular book and read that particular prophecy. Zechariah, please, chapter 5. Verse 5 to verse 11. Let us read this passage and then I will try to interpret it for you what it means. All right, the prophet Zechariah was given many visions in this book, and then one of it is pertaining to this woman. And this is written for us in chapter 5, verse 5 to verse 11. And then it says, "Then the angels who talked with me come out and said to me, 'Lift up your eyes, go and see what is that goes forth.' And so I asked, 'What is it?' And he said, 'It is a basket that is going forth.' He also said, 'This is a semblance throughout the earth. And here is a lid, this lifted up, and this woman is sitting inside the basket.' Then he said, 'This is wickedness.' And he thrust her down into the basket and threw the lid cover over his mouth. Then I raised my eyes and looked, and there were two women coming with the wing in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up the basket between the earth and heaven. And so I said to the angels who talked with me, 'Where are they carrying the basket?' And he said to me, 'To build a house for it in the land of Shinar, where it is ready. The basket will be set there on its base.'" And so, what is this prophecy all about? Now, this prophet Zechariah saw a vision of a woman, and then her name is called Wickedness. And she was sitting in, this woman was sitting in an ephah, a basket. Ephah is a basket used to measure the volume of a dry grain. One basket is approximately about 22 liters. And so ephah is actually used in the buying and selling of grains. So it is a symbol of commerce and trading. And the woman in the basket was then covered with this heavy lid made of lead. And then there were another two creatures, two women with the wings of a stork, and then appeared. Now, stork in the Bible actually are unclean birds. And these two women with wings carry this basket by flight to another place. And then the prophet then asked the angel, where are these creature carrying this woman called wickedness to? And then the angel replied, to the land of Shinar, to set up a house and a base there. Now, Shinar is another place, another name for the land of the Babylonians. If you read Genesis chapter 11, when Nimrod founded the city, he says that it was in the land of Shinar, Babel. Same place. So, it was recorded in Genesis 11, which means to say, these two creatures were carrying this woman named Wickedness to this place called Babel, Babylon. Now, it must be noted that this vision and prophecy was given to Zechariah after the fall of Babylon. In fact, after the Babylonian captivity of the Jews. And so, Zechariah's prophecy is seeing the future rebuilding of this evil city called Shinar, Babylon. So, in summary, Babylon is to be interpreted as a literal city in Iraq. The Antichrist will make Babylon the capital city and the center of commerce of the one world government during the last 3.5 years before Jesus comes back. And he will control all the other cities of the world due to the one world government and trading system. So it will be a city that will be integrated with all the other financial centers of the world, like New York, London, Tokyo, Shanghai, Hong Kong, Singapore, Zurich, Sydney, and all other major financial centers. So Babylon, the present-day Hila in Iraq, may not be prominent now, but mark my word, it will be in the future. And with this understanding of Babylon, I'm now in a position to give you a verse-by-verse commentary of Revelation chapter 18. Next slide, please. Thank you. Now, when I go into chapter 18, because I've covered right up to 17. 17 is actually the seven bowl judgment as shown in this chart. So, 17. So, when I go into chapter 18, if you can remember, all these events take place in the last 3.5 years. So, when we read chapter 18, you must have some background of what is happening in the seven bowl judgment. And later on, as I go through those verses, I'm going to highlight to you. Alright, so let's proceed with verse 1 and verse 2. It says that after this thing, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. Now, so the first thing is after these things. The question is, what things? Now, after the destruction of the one world religion, which happened at the beginning of the 3.5 years of tribulation. After this thing, destruction of the one world religion. And what happened this? Satan will make the way for the last religion. And the last religion is the worship of Satan himself through Antichrist. And so the final worship will be devil worship. It will be a beast image worship at Jerusalem. So after these things, another high-ranking angels and then came down from heaven, and he says that his glory is so bright that it illuminated the earth. Now, what does that mean? And so, come back to the bowl judgment. If you remember in the fifth bowl judgment, number 5, there was what we call total darkness. Because in that particular number 5 bowl judgment, actually God strikes the capital of the one world government and became dark. And also other cities of the world became dark. So there was what I call a temporary period of darkness over the earth, if you can recall. And therefore, when the angels came down with that, high-ranking angels came down, his glory was, you know, illuminates the earth, because there was a contrast. Because there, at that period of time, there was darkness. And so this angel began to pronounce the impending final judgment of Babylon. He says that Babylon the Great has fallen and has become the dwelling place of demons and the prisons of unclean spirit. Which means to say, during the Jesus millennium, which is to come after his coming, 1,000 years. It says, while the devil and the fallen angels will be locked up in the bottomless pit, the demons, it's a different class of evil spirit altogether. Demons will be locked up and confined in the fallen city of Babylon. So that is what it means. And then verse 3, for all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. Now, what is this wine of Babylon that nations of the world fornicate with? Now, I put to you, next slide, please. This wine of Babylon is this: materialism without morality, pleasure without purity, riches without righteousness, and love without love. So lust without love. So they have intoxicated the whole world and make them rich to enjoy the illicit pleasure and the luxury of the world. And then come to verse 4. And I've heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sin, and lest you receive of her plague. Now, before the Lord strikes the capital of Babylon, he gave the final call to his people not to partake of a sin, but to come out to avert the final plague that God will inflict upon Babylon. And so, these are the people who have not taken the mark of the beast. And they are mainly Jews. Mainly Jews who live in Babylon and in the vicinity of Babylon. Now, incident like this happened before. If you can remember in the book of Genesis, Lot and his family want to settle in Sodom and Gomorrah. And what happened through the years, they became very rich. And then when God was about to judge Sodom and Gomorrah, and God actually sent angels to warn Lot to come out of that city. So the same thing will happen, because there will be many Jews who live in Babylon and the vicinity of Babylon, basically to make money. You all know how the Jews are, how a shrewd businessmen and very good bankers. And so this is the context of it. Verse 5 to verse 6. For her sin have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquity. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works in the cup which she has mixed double for her. The reason for this severe judgment, double portion judgment on Babylon, is because her sin has come to maturity. It has reached up to heaven. It is a phrase that corresponds to the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11 again. If you remember, Nimrod built a Tower of Babel that reaches to the heaven. The same phrase. And Babylon has been getting away, you know, with all her atrocity and sin for several thousands of years. So now is the time for God to render to her a double portion of the judgment for all her works of evil. If you can remember, the harlot woman and the Babylon, you know, she's the mother of all harlots, mother of all abomination. And so now we come to verse 7 to verse 8. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen, and I am no widow, and will not see sorrow. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine. And she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. Now, her many sins are enumerated in here. The first sin was self-glorification instead of glorifying God. Second sin was self-indulgence and unbridled extravagance with no regards for others whatsoever. Third sin, she sits as a queen and no widow, and she says that she will not see any sorrow. That means that she is full of pride. She is very egoistic and flirtatious. And God says that according to the measure that she gratifies herself with lust and unbridled luxury, the same measure she will be tormented and inflicted with sorrow. Now, Babylon thinks that she is very rich, very powerful and invincible. And she thought that she will never mourn or experience any lack of food. But how utterly wrong she is. Her destruction is so sudden, and within one day, she will utterly be burned with fire. She will fall and become a big pile of rubble. And there will be death, mourning, and famine. Verse 9 to verse 10. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of a burning standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that great mighty city, for in one hour your judgment has come." Now, the politicians and the governments of all nations who enjoy the power, the wealth, the luxury, and the perks by fornicating with Babylon, they will weep and they will lament to see her destruction. And I, at this moment, just want to keep you in perspective. All the military kings of the earth, they were mobilized at the valley of Armageddon, posturing themselves to attack Israel. And so this military king could not believe with the eyes when they saw from afar, from distant, from Israel, where they stand, and they look towards the land of Babylon, which is present-day Iraq, and they could see the great smoke of burning that was rising up at the far distance, and the fire was so great and so widespread. And so I believe during that time, all the oil fields in Middle East, they will be set on fire by lightning and earthquake. And the destruction was so sudden and so great. And within 1 hour, the iconic building, high-rise building of Babylon, which is a grand statement of man's might and achievement, it will come crashing down. And so the best imagery, a glimpse of the imagery of this, what they call scene, I can give you, will be the 9/11 incident in New York. The Twin Tower, the World Trade Center, the number one financial center of the world, the iconic tower of wealth, luxury, and might. Now, it looks so invincible, but it just takes 1 hour for it to fall and crash down like a pile of cards. So in reality, the might, the wealth of the world is just so fragile. Sorry. So, brothers and sisters, perhaps before 9/11, you sense that it is very difficult to bring down the might and the power of the wealth of all these so-called greedy, you know, immoral, godless businessmen all around the world. And it's so difficult to bring down a corrupted government. But if you just look at 9/11 incident, just within 1 hour, the great World Trade Center collapsed like a pack of cards. And Pentagon, the military center, was nearly paradise. And even the White House, potentially, you know, could be destroyed. So the world is extremely fragile. God can just bring it within minutes, let alone 1 hour. And so, coming to verse 11, the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise. And so there are three groups of people who lament Babylon's fall in Iraq. The first group, as I said, was the politician in the previous verse. And they're watching, the military kings, they're watching afar from Armageddon in Israel. And then the second group here is the rich tycoon and the big-time businessman in verse 11. And so nothing so clearly reveals the hardness of the heart and the craze for money of these people. And through the 3.5 years, when they experienced some brunt of the seven bowl judgment, they refused to weep, if you can remember, and mourn over their sin. Instead, they swear and curse God to His face. But here, they would readily weep and cry over the ruin of Babylon, because they are no longer able to make money from their trading of merchandise anymore. And then it talks about verse 12 to verse 13. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearl, fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet. every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron and marble, and synonyms and incense, fragrance, oil and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariot and bodies and souls of men. Now, when you read into these verses, there are 28 items here. It just perhaps goes over your head because you are not living in that sanctuary. Let me put it, classify in 7 groups and to speak to you in contemporary language, modern day language, so that you can understand. It is not by chance that it was listed in that sequence. So first group, gold, silver, precious stone and pearl. What are they? Branded jewelry like Pusilliti and Cartier. All right. Second group, fine linen, purple, silk and scarlet. Designer clothing and fashion like Prada and Dior. Third group, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of more precious wood, bronze, iron and marble. Those are exclusive and luxurious furnishing. All right. Fourth group, synonym and incense, fragrance oil and frankincense. What are those things? High-end cosmetic and perfume like Christian Dior. Chanel number 5. That takes $5 million, you know, just to produce the advertisement. You know. And DKNY. Right. Number 5. Wine and oil. Fine and flour. Wheat, cattle and sheep. High class. Fine dining and food. That's what it means. Number 6, horses and chariot. Modern language. Prestigious car like Rolls Royce, Ferrari and Lamborghini. Because during those days, most of them don't have horses and chariots. They walk. That is their normal means of transport. Alright, so in those days, they are equivalent to Rolls Royce, Ferrari and Lamborghini. And then we come to number 7. What is this all about? Bodies and souls of men. Human trafficking, prostitution and adult shops. So, brothers and sisters, this is Babylon represents materialism gone mad. It begins with gold and silver. It ends with body and souls of men. Means human trafficking, prostitution. They had gained the whole world, but they had lost their soul. And that is why Mark 8:36 says, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his own soul?" And then verse 14 says, "The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you. And all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you. And you shall find them no more." Alright, all the material possession and wealth, all the glitter and splendor of these rich and godless people will all burn into ashes. They long for all this wealth and material possession, but they will all end up having nothing. That's why Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and thieves do not go and break and steal." He says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. But then seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you." And so, verse 15, verse 16 says, "The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, 'Alas, alas, that great city that has fallen, clothed with fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearl.'" And so the merchants who became rich by merchandising, now they will lament at Babylon's destruction. And then they will stand afar, these merchants in their executive suite all around the world watching on the television set the collapse of Babylon. And they will be very fearful at her torment, and their wealth got wiped out within an hour, and they will cry and weep at their great loss. And all the money, all the treasures, and all the banking accounts and computer records of the world will all be wiped out, because there will be a global shaking of the earth, and then it will be a political, complete and total political and economic meltdown of the whole world. Babylon will no longer control the world politically and economically. Like the Titanic, all the seemingly indestructible city of the world will just go down in flames. And to some degree, one degree or another, we are part of this so-called world system. And all we need to discover is that we can be off, or rather, we need to know that we can be off the world, we can be in the world, but not of the world. And so, the issue is not about money, but the issue is the love of money, which we need to be very watchful. And verse 17 to verse 19 says, "For in 1 hour, such great riches came to nothing. Every shipbuilder and all those who travel by ship, sailors and many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance and cried when they saw the smoke of burning, saying, 'What is like this great city?' They threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing and saying, 'Alas, alas, the great city in which all who had ship on the sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she is made desolate.'" Now, over 90% of the world trade is carried by sea transport. And it is by far the most cost-effective way to move mass amount of goods and raw material around the world. And without shipping, the import and export of goods on such a scale necessary for the world economy would not be possible. And so, it looks like people who will make the most money in the last days are the people in the shipping industry. And so the third group of the people who will lament over the Babylon's disasters are people in the shipping industry. The shipmasters, owners, sailors, merchants whose goods are transported by ship. And then verse 20, "Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her." Now, earth is wailing and crying, but heaven is rejoicing. So heaven and earth have a totally opposite viewpoint on material wealth. And the Babylonian spirit has always hated and killed the two foundational mystery of the apostle and prophets. And then their blood has finally been avenged by Jesus, the kinsman redeemer. Now, you remember the early part of book of Revelation, Jesus, the kinsman redeemer, has got, you know, a couple of roles. And one of it is to avenge the blood of his people. And now we continue with verse 21. "Then the mighty angels took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, 'Thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found any more.'" Now, this is a symbolic act. Symbolic act by this mighty angel shows how violent the casting down and the overthrow of Babylon will be. And a millstone, as you know, is used to grind grain and food. And so a big millstone would sink to the depths of the sea, and just like Babylon will be swallowed up into the depths of the earth. And so the greatest earthquake and the shaking of the whole earth will swallow up Babylon and all the other financial centers of the world, never to rise up again. Now, this prophetic act was also performed by the prophet Jeremiah in the book of Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 60 to 64. For those who are interested, there is a close parallel between what is said here to what is written there in Jeremiah chapter 51. And then the last two verses, three verses, 22 to 24. "The sound of harpist, musician, flutist, trumpeter shall not be heard in you anymore. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in you anymore. And the sound of millstone shall not be heard in you anymore. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you anymore. And the voice of bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by your sorcery all the nations were deceived, And in her was found the blood of prophets and saints and all who were slain on the earth. And so Babylon and the one world political and financial system will be totally, thoroughly destroyed. And all party and all music must come to an end. Unwholesome music, the glitter of pop culture, all the wild parties and orgy, all the illicit entertainment, they will be heard no more, says the Lord. And the Babylonian system is judged for three major sins in the history of humanity. First one is because the merchants who became rich and great by exploiting the worker and abusing the poor. Sin number one. Number two, it says seduction and deception and enslavement of millions of people through sorcery, witchcraft, drugs, and intoxicating alcohol. Sin number two. Sin number three, the killing of believers in Christ through the oppressive political regime and the religious persecution. And so finally, Jesus avenged the blood of the innocent. And everything on earth that can be shaken will be shaken by the greatest earthquake. And the great fall of Babylon and the world will now make way for the second coming of Jesus, which I will cover in chapter 20. So can I get the musicians to come forward, please? Thank you.